Welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Praise you, Lord. You are worthy of all of our praise. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. Thank you for another day to serve you for this service. May it be profitable to all of us who hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Keeping me from all sin and shame. One.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to go to Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. I've been thinking a lot about pride. The Lord has been showing me areas in my life where I have been walking in pride, and that it is to my destruction, but it's also harmful to the other people around me. If I think I can just walk in pride and others not be affected by it, then it's just wrong. I don't believe that there is ever a time in the Bible where pride has been used as a good thing. I know that in the world it's exalted as this awesome thing. Be proud of yourself, be proud of your children, be proud of your job, be proud of your country, and it's exalted as this great thing. But here it said, pride goeth before destruction. I don't see that as being a good thing. And I know that the Lord doesn't want me to be destroyed. I know that he has come that we may have life and have it abundantly, not for our destruction. And when I, which I often do, find myself veering off in my own thoughts and directions, the Lord has his plan, his path. And I find myself putting like yields where there shouldn't be yields. I find myself veering off in all kind of directions that I think are of him but really aren't. And because the Lord loves me and because he's good, he corrects me. Whether it be just throughout my day in the house with things I think or say, you know, but a lot of times it will be through my authority because he's good. He doesn't want me to be on the path of destruction. And I know myself, my perspective can easily get off on that because it doesn't feel good. Pride feels good because it's the flesh and it feeds that. And you know, the perspective of seeing the correction when you are veering off as a blessing of the Lord, that it is, that the Lord loves you and doesn't want you to be destroyed, doesn't want you to be in harm's way, doesn't want to see you die. He wants to see you have life in it abundantly. And I was thinking about, I've taken my children to state parks and things of that nature. And a lot of times when you go to a state park and stuff, they have little paths that you can walk through in the woods. They're pretty small. They're not normally huge paths, whether they're 2 or 3 feet, 4 feet, whatever. But outside of that path is just woods, you know, overgrowth, fallen limbs, things that would be harmful. That's why you have a path. And I know when I've gone to these things with my children, when they start to get off that path and they start to veer off into the woods and romp in the woods, I don't want them to go into the woods because there are things that are going to harm them. There's poison ivy, poison oak, poisonous snakes, poisonous spiders. It's harmful to them. And so when I call them back in and they're starting to veer off, I say, get back on the path. Do I say it because I'm just trying to be a big, mean, nasty mom? They probably see it that way. Spoiling their fun, you know, all this kind of stuff. They're against me. But no, I do it because I don't want them to be destroyed. I don't want them to be harmed. And that in correlation with the Lord. and his goodness and his blessing, and not seeing those things as the Lord being a big, mean, nasty. I know for myself, a lot of times when I hear things that I didn't see or hear things I don't necessarily want to hear at that time, sometimes I can see it as God being a big, mean, nasty. And I know my perspective is wrong because I know he's good. And I have to choose to change my perspective. And that's not what he is. He is good. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He cares for us. And when these things come up and the stuff I've been seeing in my heart, it's ugly. It is. But I know he's showing it to me because he doesn't want me to be harmed. He wants to keep me on that path, not veering off into all these harmful things for me or for others. And then when these things come, I have a choice. I can either get hung up on it over the fact that I see these things and how awful I am, or I can say, thank you, Lord, for that blessing. There is not a single person in this room that is exempt from the Lord showing us these things and from his correction. And that's a praise God. Why would I want to be exempt from it if my perspective is right and I see it as the blessing that it is? And him trying to save my life. I talk to Robin through discipleship, and I also hear her on Bible studies, and she will frequently say to me, and in Bible studies, we all have a lot to learn. Every single one of us. Don't get hung up that you have a lot to learn. You know, every single one of us. None of us are exempt. Praise God. I want to go to 1 Peter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And that really, you know, like Robin has talked about before, that digestion of the gospel, to actually understand that those things that come our way are because he cares for me, because he cares for you. And we will serve two masters. We cannot serve two masters. We will either serve one or serve the other. I'm either going to serve the Lord and be on his path, or I'm going to serve the flesh and be off of it. One is life, one is death. And I know one thing I've been telling myself, and I speak tonight, is don't allow the flesh to rob you of the blessings of the Lord. Because it is a choice. Praise God. Well, what a freedom in that. I have a choice. I don't have to choose to agree with that. I don't have to be in bondage to it. I have a choice. Don't allow the flesh to rob you of the good things God has, because he is good all the time.
I'm done. I was thinking this week, and that's something I was thinking this week. We're all busy. That seems to be a badge of honor in this country. Everybody's busy. If you're not busy, there must be something wrong with you. You're lazy, or you're not accomplishing enough, or something. And we often get wrapped up in that busyness. And ask yourself, is that busyness of the Lord? Are you busy doing His work, or are you busy doing your work? I know that it was kind of interesting. I was talking with Anne on Monday, and I was asking her about why the ranch is so different than it is out in the world. And then yesterday I was listening to Davey's sermon from, I guess it was 3 weeks ago, where Robin asked him a similar question to what I asked, and he gave an answer. And I encourage you to go listen to it. At the ranch, it is obvious what we're supposed to do. And it is obvious when we're not doing it. One person's actions affect everyone else's life there. And that's how it is with your body. If your finger pokes you in the eye, you're going to feel it. And when you're not in the thick of it, like out in the world, because there are very few situations like the ranch, when you're in the thick of it out in the world, you get so caught up in self that you don't realize when you fall out of line, when you veer off the path. And it's not good for you. I've decided just this past couple weeks, I don't like it out in the world. I want to go home. And we all have to deal with each other's nonsense at the ranch, and it's annoying at times, but isn't it better to bring things out in the light and deal with them rather than take your chastening back to your home and sit there and sulk about it and then come back on Thursday or Sunday and face everyone, no one knowing that you were chastened, whereas at the ranch, everyone knows. So you might as well deal with it and get it over with so we can all just move on. And here and other places, if someone here is chastened, the others might not know about it exactly. But it's evident. It's evident in your walk. It's evident that there is something off in the body and it doesn't feel good to others. I'm certainly sure it doesn't feel good to you because I've been there and it doesn't feel good and it's not enjoyable, but it's better to just look for ways to move forward. And oddly enough, today I've been having a problem with busyness. Unfortunately, none of it's my own doing. I wish it was things that I wanted to do, but it's all things that my husband's given me or Davey's given me or whatever, things I have to do. And I prayed this morning like I normally do, but I prayed a little more earnestly today for the Lord to guide and direct me this day and to please order that which I need to do, because I'm just flopping around and failing in all of it. And I had this conversation with Scott last night, and we were going through it bit by bit to see if there was something that I could lay down, to see if there was something that I could ask for help with, because I will be the first to admit I do not ask for help, because when someone says, can I help you? I sit there and I go through the things I need to do in my mind, which you've probably seen this process of me thinking, no, because I don't know what to have you help me with. So my husband was stepping in for me last night. Let's see what someone can do to help you. And there was one thing that he said, maybe you can lay that down. I'll talk to Davey about it. And he did. And I was thinking, okay, that's going to be a weight off. I won't have to deal with that anymore. And Davey said, get it done. It's for the Lord and His people. And instead of saying, oh, okay, well, I guess I have to do, I said, okay, And I went and I did it. And it was a good day. The little people behaved. Little people took care of other little people. It all worked out. And it was what the Lord would have me do. And it was a day filled with annoying, tedious work that I found joy in. And we don't often find that. We're certainly not going to find that out in the world, doing those busy things that everyone gets wrapped up doing. There's no joy in that. And while I was doing this busy work, I was listening to the Bible, and my ears perked up at Ephesians 4. And I'd like to read it to you. I don't have a particular place, so I'm just going to read you the whole thing. And then I promise I'll be done. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Holy, holy, holy. on switch on this somewhere.
Good evening, everybody. You know, I was talking to Dave yesterday, and one of the things that we were talking about was that, you know, just because the Lord has given us everything we need to be able to make the right decisions, to choose His way, and He's made provision in every way, perfectly, for us to be able to get to have everything we need to be able to make the right choices and be fruitful in Him. I have no confidence in my ability to make the right choices. None. I have a lot more confidence in your ability to make the right choices than I do in mine. I know me. And, you know, he made some kind of comment about having what I need, or, you know, if there's anything I need, let him know out there. Well, I said, you know, that's a choice too, isn't it? And this 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That's a choice. That's a choice to be satisfied with the provision, content with the provision of the Lord. To agree with Him that it's what you need and it's enough. I said, I fall short of that one every day. And that didn't help me at all. You know, so here we are again. And I have no real deep insights, but I'll just say that I'm really tired of living with infirmity. Before we came over here, I started bleeding again in the place where nobody wants to be bleeding. So we're going to deviate a little bit. And I'm going to get Melanie to come over here. James 5:14, if any is there any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And I kind of was involved in the next verse as well. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much. Again, such is the promise of our Lord, who we've already heard tonight. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So I ask everybody, Charles and Karen are online. Join with us. Linda's online. Join with us. And pray for me. I have the oil here, and I'm going to let Melanie anoint me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Tired of this. I want to live in the dominion and province and prosperity of the Lord. The Lord who is our healing, the Lord who is our salvation, the Lord who is our strength, and our fortress. I don't know. Put it on. It's all over me.
It's gonna be all over you.
You may as well get something on you too. I love the abundance in the bottle. There.
We could just pour it over you, Paul.
Just hit me in the forehead with it, man.
Lord, we come before you. We ask you to please strengthen Brother Paul. Guide him, direct him, strengthen him. Take away these infirmities from him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Heal him up perfectly. As you say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that this isn't what you want for him. We pray that you just take it away, Lord. Deliver him of this.
Yes.
We praise you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise you, Lord. Let me go. I don't have an inclination to elongate this unnecessarily, but I don't believe I shall. I'll just say this. This is the best news that's ever been. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's the best news there ever was. It doesn't say if you may, or, you know, it says thou shalt be saved. Doesn't do any staggering or hemming or hawing. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's the kind of certainty. It's great to be able to come to the Lord with. And that's the kind of provision he has made for us to be able to make all the right choices that please him, serve him, and put us on his agenda and not our own. And it is true, we will spend a lot of time trying to shake and dance and avoid doing the stuff that has been assigned to us in many cases. But when clarity is given, that's why they're over us. Davey and Ann and Robin and those people are over us because they give clarity. And when you submit to that clarity, it turns out to be a blessed day, a great existence. You know, the Lord meets you in abundance and shows you that you too, yes, can be successful. All you got to do is agree and submit. And fear not. He isn't here to destroy you. I'm starting to sound like the Robertsons. They all have this really high-pitched voice. I don't know. I used to have a real voice. Oh, but I digress. The Lord's good, man. Submit yourself to him. and taste and see that the Lord is good. Try him out. If you don't know that yet, you haven't tried him. Try him out. Put him to the test. This is a test he welcomes. He wants you to know how good he is. He wants to know how faithful and reliable he is. That isn't tempting the Lord. That is just putting him to show his word to be true. He wants to show you it's true. He's not trying to hide from you. Let him show you that he can make your life profitable and rewarding in service of his agenda. That there's blessing and assuredness in that. There's confidence in that. There's appearance of his love and concern for you in giving you all that and just agreeing with him. I'm done.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.